In that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God and His Word. So for that, we'll keep our minds just open and relaxed and listen to hear what the Holy Spirit would have to tell us this evening from the reading of the 10th week in Ordinary Time. Our first reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Rather, our qualification comes from God, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter brings death, but spirit brings life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look intently on the face of Moses because of its glory that was going to fade, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit be glorious? For the ministry of condemnation was glorious. If it was glorious, the ministry of righteousness will abound much more in glory. Indeed, what was endowed with glory has come to have no glory in this respect, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was going to fade was glorious, how much more will what endures be glorious? The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 99, and the response is, Holy is the Lord our God. Holy is the Lord our God. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Holy is the Lord our God. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Holy is the Lord our God. From the pillar of cloud he spoke to them. They heard his decrees and the law he gave them. Holy is the Lord our God. O Lord our God, you answered them. A forgiving God were you to them, though requiting their misdeeds. Holy is the Lord our God. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for holy is the Lord our God. Holy is the Lord our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Teach me your paths, my God, and guide me in your truth. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
on our dining room table at home, as we were eating to come down here, there are six glorious pink peonies trumpeting the beauty of God, and human hearts that are capable of seeing not just objects, but beauty and the aesthetic sense. Every one of us has that. And all the flowers that exist or have ever existed have a beauty that is transcendent to anything humans can create. Peonies start off as a hard, tight sphere and gradually blossom as layer after layer after layer of beautiful petals unfolds. And they reveal not peonies, but the creator of peonies. And when we learn to see through the peonies to the source of everything, we begin to see beauty everywhere and in everything. Glory of God made manifest. And so the glory of God made manifest is trumped by the glory of God that is unmanifest. The part of the flower we can't see, and the source of the flower we can't see, the pattern, the archetype, and the source of that archetype are glorious beyond comprehension. Because the flower will fade, it'll appear for a while, it'll give its beauty to the world, and it will fade. And such is true of the law. The law was given to human beings for a time in a process of evolutionary civilization. From tribal gods with tribal conflicts, the Hebrew people were chosen to bear the idea of the one God into the world of human affairs, to make the way for the Messiah, and to process gradually, to process out the animalistic tendencies in the human being. Because the human being is that very rare creation, the only one we know of, the self-reflective animal. The animal become conscious of itself, and the animal capable of intuiting things beyond what is seen, realizing that the temporary nature of everything that is seen is trumped by that which is manifesting it, which you never can see. We can't see life itself. We can't see the spirit. And yes, each of us knows that we are life beyond our bodies, and each of us knows that we are spirit, whether we know it overtly or intuitively. God and we are one, and He has made us for Himself. And the revelation of the law was a means by which the civilizing process and the process of, let's say, landing in history the concept of the God who is over all, in all, and through all. But as Paul points out, the law had become an agent of death. Now, you might wonder, why in the world could that be the case? Well, let's look at how things work in the rest of nature and then see if we can intuit that. There's a law that says, as above, so below, as in the great, so the small. And so we see the atom as a nucleus at the center. We see the solar system has a nucleus at the center. We see the galaxies have centers. Everything that lives has a center. Even the flower has a center from which all the petals emerge. But the center of each living thing has to be in itself. And the law is outside ourselves. The rules are something we try to conform to. We put our attention in them. We try to be obedient to them, but they're not in us. They're out there carved in stone. And the glory of the God that gave them to us is certainly present in those laws, because they're amazing. When you consider where humanity was living consciously and what those laws meant to the progressive realization of the presence of God, they are glorious. But they are objects. They are outside of us, and they always keep our attention on obeying the law. And our attention is outside of us, which means we're not centered. We don't have access to our center. Now, we may find it from time to time, and we may learn to foster it during centering prayer, but for the most part, we're not aware of the Creator's presence in the midst of an ordinary day. We're not aware of His presence when we try to be good. I was a little Baptist boy, and oh my goodness, I tried to be good, and I wasn't good. I was a bad boy. Lots of people told me that. I was trying to please the people around me and conform to their expectations so that I could be okay. But there's no amount of obeying rules that are given from outside of us that'll make us feel okay. Because the closer we approach to the letter of the law or the rule of the law, the more it recedes. It just gets infinitely farther away. So that at the time of Jesus, a righteous Jew, in order to be righteous, had to practice 631 commandments in the same day and get them all right. And if a minion, enough people to have a worship service, if a minion of Jews did it, the kingdom would come. Now, we were never in any danger of that happening. Because if we notice the nature of our own attention, it tends to wander. It gets seduced and distracted. And as much as we try to obey the rules and keep everything just right, we fade, and then we come back, and we fade, and we come back. And we always don't quite measure up. The commandments that talk about how to live with others, the commandments that talk about how to live with God, are absolutely the case. This is a lawful universe created by a God who has reason and balance and harmony. The whole thing works like a precision clockwork mechanism. But human beings, this self-reflective creature, have free will. And they can obey the law, or they cannot. Or they can pretend to, or they cannot. We have the free will to know God or not to know God. And for the most part, if you can see by the culture, that we forget that there's God in the midst of all of this, that we are in Him, move in Him, have a being in Him, and that He loves us. And so the way was made for the Messiah to come by the foundation established in Israel by the law. But when the Messiah came, a new covenant came with Him. No longer was the law outside, but the law was now written in our hearts, in our inmost parts, by the presence of the risen Christ Himself. And so if we put our attention outside ourselves, we lose our center. Sometimes in relationships, we'll get involved with somebody that we get in exchanges with, like we did in our marriage, and my center of gravity would go into pleasing Barbara, and her center of gravity would go into me. We'd all be trying to dance a dance that couldn't be done, because everything has to have its own center. It cannot be centered in anything else and be real. And so the false personality thrives on rules, regulations. False personality that Jesus excoriated was in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, whose righteousness as they paraded before men was all on the surface, all for others to see. And He said, yeah, but you're like whitewashed sepulchres, really clean on the outside but full of bones on the inside. And so when we try to look at ourselves in light of the law, we see we never measure up. But God being God, at a certain point in the evolution of our species, introduced into the mix the Messiah, the God-man, who brought God and man together in a single embrace in one human being. And because it happened in one human being, it was true and accredited to all human beings. Now, this takes a little effort to realize, because we see ourselves as here, here, I'm here, you're there, all individuals cut up. But there's only one thing going on here. There's one humanity, there's one life, there's one consciousness. And everything that any human does is attributable to all of them. So for an example, a man named Roger Bannister, an Australian miler, ran a 4-minute mile, which was considered up until that moment impossible. Impossible. Roger Bannister runs the 4-minute mile, and within months, another one had done it. And then another one. And now you can't get into a track meet without a 4-minute mile. What's that saying is, in the person of Roger Bannister, but, you know, forget him for a second. Human beings run the 4-minute mile. When Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon, he said, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Mankind has walked on the moon. It did it in the person of one individual, but mankind is also one. Without limit, we are one. We are each other. And so the risen Christ in us, having been dead, brought to life, raised to heaven, and expressed throughout the universe, is waiting for our discovery in our own hearts. But if our outside self, the false self, Thomas calls it, is constantly attending to things in that direction, trying to do things right, trying to please others, trying to amass a fortune, trying to be noticed, if it's all headed up that way, we're not in our center. When we stop for a minute and come back inside, breathe a few conscious breaths, we begin to experience something vast, unmanifested, and more real than anything manifested. The glory of anything in the manifested world is temporal. It appears for a while, persists, and disappears. This building wasn't here 20 years ago or 25 years ago. This was land. And there's a time in the future when this building is gone. It's already decaying and falling down, as everything that appears does. And so when we bank our lives, when we invest our attention in objects that appear, we're clinging to things that are already disappearing while we're clinging to them. And the clinger herself or himself is also in the process of disappearing. We are sojourners here for a short time, and God has made a means for us to be infinitely conscious, cosmically conscious, of the whole universe and His presence in it, His glory in it, as we get that He is present in us now, and stop worrying so much about conditions, or pleasing people, or doing something right. The truth of the matter is, it's all grace. We are free to come into the kingdom just because God invited us. There's not a thing we can do to earn His grace. There's not a thing we can do to merit consciousness or love. The only thing is to attend to God. And so Jesus tells us that the law will never pass away, because the law has to do with everything outside of us, the behaviors of the outer self. The law is never going to pass away because it's a lawful creation and everything has to work harmoniously. But what won't pass away is the love in our hearts. And when we learn to feel His love, when we learn to prize His love, we will realize the satisfaction of the law. Because the law is satisfied by love. It's the summary of all the laws coming together. All 631 laws come together under the aegis of love. Now, we much rather work for rules than love. We'll get serious about rules a lot faster than we'll get serious about love, because love costs us everything. Costs us knowing so much, costs us being so right, costs us being really somebody hot, costs us laying up treasures for ourselves in the world where moth and rust corrupt. We have to let all that go to discover that God and we are one, and that we have been doing a task that wasn't ours to do at all in trying to be righteous. We've been made righteous by the gift of Christ. He is present in us, and when our attention goes to Him, all the laws are satisfied. And amazingly enough, the more we let go, the more we see divine order manifesting itself in our world. The more we see harmony, the more we feel the blessed presence of beauty in the flowers, in people, in everything around us. We see the Creator in the created. And we see Him in ourselves, and we realize we belong to Him. And we don't own ourselves. What a relief. We find experientially that that my burden is light and my yoke is easy. When we yoke the outer man to the inner Christ, we find our lives being transformed. And we didn't do it. We simply used our will, that free will to look at anything, to love or hate anything. We used our free will to surrender to the allness of God, to the wholeness, to the perfection and the grace of God. Because no human effort can ever earn that. He just wants to pour it into us. He wants to pour it into us. I got so convinced about God's presence because I had no other alternative. And when I called out for help, there was God. And it was an experience. It wasn't a thing in a book and it wasn't a word. It was an experience. And that experience imprinted me so deeply. But that's all I ever wanted. That was like air. I got to breathe. I've got to breathe this. I wanted to know it all the time, and I couldn't keep it all the time. So I did my practice. I studied the work of inner Christianity. I studied the Bible. I did my sits every day. I used my body in yoga. I gave my body, my mind, everything back to God as best I could. And I accepted forgiveness for the part that I couldn't do yet. Because just like the evolution of humanity has been a process, so is the evolution of one human being from birth to death on the spiritual journey a process. Those peonies unfold one petal at a time. One petal at a time. And what they reveal is beautiful golden pollen right at the center. But it takes a while before all those petals, there are thousands of petals in a peony. It's just astonishing to see how they're all worked in there together. But then that center is revealed. When we do our practice, when we make God first in our attention and get which side our bread is buttered on, we begin to see the petals begin to open and we begin to be kinder. We begin to see people with more compassion. We become aware of beauty. And we become aware of our total dependence on God, and our hearts overflow with gratitude. The law was useful for its time, but through Jesus Christ, the law was made neutral. It's still in effect for those who are under it, but for those who elect to accept grace, life becomes peace that passes understanding, uncaused joy, and a sense of being rich beyond the wildest dreams of a millionaire. We'll end that there. Amen. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.